So it's Ascension Sunday. How many of you have a reaction when I say that? How many of you have any idea what this was, what would have had any idea what this was before we just read these scriptures? Rich, thank you. Scott, thank you. Annette, thank you. And Joan. So we've got a couple of ministers, Scott and a preacher's kid. So, okay. Now that we've read this, do you have any idea of what Ascension Sunday is? Okay, so we've got some work to do. Some of my less reverent colleagues refer to this as Jesus with a jetpack Sunday. And the image, of course, here is Jesus rising up into heaven. You know, we say in our creeds, sometimes on those rare Sundays we say them, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, God the Creator, God the Mother. And so there is that idea that Jesus has to ascend, has to get off of earth somehow and to ascend into heaven so that Jesus can later on come back. And it's a funny thing because we don't frequently talk in this church anyway about Jesus in those ways, in the physical way of going up and going down. You know, the story of Jesus as told in our historic creeds is that Jesus died, descended into hell, then rose again and ascended into heaven. So there's this entire up and down metaphor. And one of the reasons we don't talk about it in this church very much, I was reading some commentaries this week, and Thomas Troger wrote one of them. Now, that's a name you may not immediately recognize, but he's a very common modern hymn writer. And he tells the story of some unnamed hymnal committee telling him to beware of using up and down language in the hymns because it does not match the theology anymore. I'm going to leave the hymnal committee unnamed, and we will go on in mystery wondering which hymnal it was that he was talking about. And part of it is, you know, we in this church struggle with the science and faith connection. And we recognize that above our sky is more sky and is outer space, right? We basically understand that. And below our feet, while we would not like to be there, is, you know, a molten core. And so we have this symbolic sense of what it means to ascend, to leave this place and to go off somewhere else that we may be seen. And the key part of this is not necessarily the ascension per se. It's that that's that final point. The finality of Jesus' departure, at least as far as our day-to-day life is concerned. There has been this period, and there's a little conflict between Luke and Acts about whether that's a couple of days or 40 days. And of course, those of you who know anything about Hebrew imagery know that 40 days does not usually mean 40 days. It usually means a long period of time. But with the ascension, there's this wonderful moment, a moment, when Jesus can say, look, I am gone now, and the rest is yours. And it's natural to think about that, for me at least, in these waning days of May, in terms of college, right? In high school, you look around, and my Facebook feed has been filled with various people graduating from college. Iowa happened on Saturday. There are places in California where Beth's cousin has just graduated from school over and over again. And if you think about Jesus's time on earth, it really matches the collegiate semester, the collegiate experience, because you have that time where Jesus is instructing us. And it's only 3 years. His public ministry is 3 years long. You know, it's a fast college. It's a college in the UK. And so in that time, Jesus has been instructing us, and Jesus has been leading us along, and Jesus has been helping us to construct a story and a framework within which to understand the world around us. And then we get closer and closer to the end. And we see, you know, in college and high school, in those ends, this looming finality, right? You're saying goodbye to all of your friends. You're remembering all the times you had together with your friends, and you were saying, this will not be the same any longer. And that is what we see in the lead up, the Last Supper to Jesus. And then we come to finals, you know, which end on a Friday. And so then we're all through this semester. We're all through this college experience. And as students, you need to think back a little bit or look in your households a little bit to other people. We got a little confused about what happens next. A little bit of anxiety about how we're going to get out into the world and do the next thing. A little wonder about how we're going to feed ourselves and how we're going to avoid going back to our parents' homes. And that is sort of what's happening here in this passage. Jesus is trying to help people get over their anxiety a little bit. If you want to look at it as the end of a semester, it's a useful model there because we had in college, I don't know if those of you who went to college had this in your college, a thing called a reading period. And that was called a reading period because that was the 2 weeks at the end of the semester when you had time to actually read all the stuff you were supposed to be reading all semester long. You know, cram it into 2 weeks. And in that time, the professor was still around to answer questions. And so after the resurrection, we have the reading period for the disciples, where Jesus pops up every once in a while, say, no, you can do this. It's okay. I'll support you. But then the reading period ends and finals start. And the professor isn't around anymore. But hopefully they have left you with a sense of hope that when it comes time to sit down in your classroom, when it comes time that all of these things come together, the Spirit will move you to produce acceptable answers on the test. The Spirit will move you, no matter how much you've studied before. Somehow all of this experience will come to you in this one moment of the final examination. And that is what Jesus is doing in this ascension. Jesus is saying to us, the Spirit will move you. And as much as you want to run away before the finals come, as much as you don't want to go out, I have faith in you that you, when the test comes, will pass the test. You will be able to find that Spirit and do as I have instructed you to do and carry on this work. And so that's what the ascension is, this last departure of Jesus, the last departure of that instructor, that person who has taught us how we are to live and the models we are to follow, and that message of hope that in this place you'll receive the Holy Spirit and be able to continue on my work. And so that is the message for us, that it's our turn now. It's our turn to go out and teach. It's our turn to go out and feed people. It's our turn to go out and visit people. It's our turn to go out and comfort people as Jesus did. We've graduated, and now it's time for the next step. But this is only half of Jesus' message. You know, there is that nice, good, affirming truth. Look, you all have what it takes to carry on my message. As I have healed you, as you have felt my healing presence in your life, as you have heard the good word from my mouth, as you have eaten the food that has come and has been brought into being by my presence, so you too may now do all of these things. You may baptize, you may perform miracles, you may do all of these things in my name, and you are loved children of God and have that power. But there's a catch, because Jesus says, you need to stay here in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes, because you disciples will feel the Spirit. You will feel the Spirit, I promise you. But you need to be here for it to happen. And it's an interesting catch, because in our lives, that kind of sense of place is not as clear. But put yourself into the minds of the disciples, of the followers of Jesus. What has just happened in Jerusalem? This is a real question. What just happened? Jesus was crucified, and we heard on the Sunday after Easter that the disciples were cowering in a room for fear of roving mobs, right? It's a scary place to be. Not only that, they had all come to Jerusalem with Jesus, but for a festival. The festival is now ended. So Jesus is telling them, as much as you want to go back to your families, as much as you want to go back to safety, you need to be here, where there's chaos, where there is fear, where you're not sure of where you stand, and where you maybe don't feel safe. And it is here, in the midst of that, in the midst of the discomfort, in the midst of the fear, in the midst of this lack of safety, that the Holy Spirit will come and transform you. It is here in Jerusalem that this will happen. And it is here in Jerusalem where this work is so needed. And so that is the message that we carry out with us today as well. One, Jesus has ascended, leaving the ministry and the work of Jesus to us. And Jesus has faith in us that we can do it. But also that Jesus took ministry into uncomfortable places. Jesus took ministry into Samaria, where they did not like him. They did not like the Jews. Jesus took his ministry into Jerusalem, where the powers, both religious and state, were against him. Jesus took ministry to the outcast, to people that other people did not approve of. And so for us, we need to look, where is it that we are called to go and care for Jesus' children? Because sometimes we're called to do things that are good and that are fun. You know, I have here on the picture, it's inappropriate time-wise, it's a picture of Martha in the front making the dinner for the feast while Jesus is in the back with Mary. But this message, Jesus says, well, I won't be with you always, so it's good that Mary is learning from me. But it's good for us to know, yeah, we always need to have potlucks, right? The potlucks don't cook themselves. And so it's good to see Martha doing that and has to have models for doing that. And that's an easy and good thing to do that cares for one another. But sometimes we take it even further. We can take it even further from Martha's example, because Martha didn't like doing all this by herself in that story. She didn't like the fact that Mary got to spend time with Jesus. She didn't like doing that work because she was afraid she was missing out on something. So the question for us is, what are the ways to care that make us uncomfortable? You know, one of the easy things to point to in this congregation is, you know, visiting people who may not be the people we remember them being. Visiting people who have been afflicted by disease, by age. Not all people are afflicted by age, but some are. People who remind us of our own mortality. People who are dying. It's a hard thing to face our mortality. But it's what Jesus did. Whenever he went to heal, whenever he went to the home of a leper, whenever he went to the home of the deceased, Jesus faced his own mortality and ours and said, we can go into this place. There are other places too. Places where, like in Arizona, we'll have a lot of explaining to do to our friends and our family, with the people we serve and the places we spend our time. But those are the very places that Jesus calls us to go. That is our Jerusalem. Where is it that the Holy Spirit needs to be, and where is it we can bring the Holy Spirit ourselves? And so on this Ascension Sunday, when we are reminded that Jesus was in our presence and no longer is, when we are reminded that Jesus had a ministry to the disciples and that ministry was passed on to us, let us continue to challenge ourselves and say, where is it that we are uncomfortable? Where is it that we fear to tread? And where is it that the Holy Spirit is most needed? Because on this Ascension Sunday, we are reminded that there's no one else. It's only us. Amen.